You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana, here from Island Community Church. We greet you guys today. Happy Wednesday to you. It's hump day already. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. Thank you for taking the next 30 minutes to join us as we together sit under the authority of the Word of God. This is WGOD Radio. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. The word is going to come in the book through the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 13. This sermon is entitled On the Road. I had to look again at it. On the Road Again. This is Paul's first, what the Bible calls, missionary journeys. Well, that's what people call them. He took three famous missionary journeys around the known world at that time, spreading the gospel, and we're on the road within his first trip, and that's where we're at here today. This is part two from this sermon that just started yesterday, and this is the sermon that I just preached on Sunday. We're having an excellent time here in the book of Acts. The Lord's been bringing in some new people here. He's been doing a great work as we study and sit under the Word of God, and I invite you guys to attend one of our services. Our next service is tonight, and my associate pastor is heading that up. That's Darren Solana. He is in the book of 1 Thessalonians, going through that verse by verse. You are invited to attend tonight's service. No matter where you go, if you're free tonight, I invite you to come by Island Community Church. Sit under the Word of God, and we roll out the dry erase board. It's a much more informal service, where you can ask questions, and Lord willing, answers will be available as well. So we would love to see you at 6 o'clock. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you still have 25 minutes to make it to church. We'd love to see you here tonight. On the radio for the rest of the week, we just started the book of Revelation again, and we'll be in, I think, chapter 2 here tomorrow. So that's what's going on here at WGOD. That's what's going on here at Island Community Church. God's doing a great work at our church. You are invited to attend. We would love to see you. If you love the pure, unadulterated truth of the Word of God, then this church is for you. We'll keep the porch light on for you. We'd love to see you. Okay, let's go back on the road again now with the Apostle Paul. We're in Acts chapter 13.
Wow, what a terrible condemnation he's laid on this guy, huh? Full of all deceit, tricks. I also saw in there wile. Makes me think of Wile E. Coyote. Sleight of hand, David Copperfield. And then full of all fraud, means unscrupulous. Wicked schemes. The King James says, oh, you full of all subtlety and mischief. With the crime being a spiritual pervert. That's the crime. Trying to take people off the straight and narrow, the spiritual pervert, drawing you away from the faith and from the straight ways, not crooked, from the straight ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone that tries to get you off of the straight ways of the Lord is a spiritual pervert. They're after your soul, not after your flesh. The straight ways of the Lord. God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other way. There is no other path that leads to eternal life, salvation, or peace with God, and the forgiveness of sin other than the man in the glory, Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today, church. We're here to worship the King. Now, back again to Paul's condemnation. And then taking one from Peter's playbook, now Paul's going to hand out the sentence for trying to lead people astray from the straight and narrow way which leads to heaven through Jesus Christ. Because there's going to be a punishment attached to this. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, you full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil." We could say, "Who's your daddy?" Who wants to hear that? So let me see if I get this right. Leading people astray from the straight ways of the Lord, he calls you a son of the devil. Not something you want to hear today. And yet, aren't there churches doing that all the time? I know of, well, there's two more here today. I know of at least six people in this small church of 60 people who their old church was trying to do this to them. And they said, "You know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to sit here anymore in this church where the pastor, even the pastor, is going to lead people astray from the straight and narrow way that leads to heaven." There's two here. There's two there. There's other people in this church that says, "You know what? I'm not doing this. You're not going to lead me astray." Look at the condemnation. He calls them, "Oh, you son of the devil." He takes this very serious. "Full of deceit, all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" And now, verse 11, "Indeed," all right, here comes the Spock eyebrow now. Anytime you read that word, "indeed," I wish I could do that. Meaning, here it comes, Smedley. You're in for a world of hurt now. And it's just like Peter, now it's Paul. It was Peter for 11 chapters. Starting now, the "indeed" eyebrow is going to come from Paul. "Indeed." Just like, remember, Peter said, "Listen, here come the feet of the guys that buried your husband for lying to the church leader and lying to God." Now it's coming from Paul. "The hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." There's the first time I've ever seen the hand of the Lord on someone for something bad and not good. Punishment, the hand of judgment. So immediately, this is verse 11, "a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand." Not so big and bad anymore, is he? Now he's like the mummy, right? You got to grab him by the little hand. Wipe the drool off of his chin. "Immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." All right, so we're traveling with the Apostle Paul here today on his first missionary journey, as they're referred to. On the road again, that's what I've called this sermon. He's going to take three of these famous trips where he went around the known world telling people about Jesus. That's why we're all here today. Because at a command we just read a few verses earlier. "Now separate from me these two guys and send them out there." Remember what Jesus said? "You will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." We're seeing that all come to place here now. Now for the rest of this sermon here, my sermon, let's hit on the highlights of Paul's first recorded sermon. Let's see how Paul preaches to Jews, because it'll be different than his message to the Gentiles, because the Jews have a rich history. You guys have no history. All you have is the New Testament. You have no history. It's all new. All right, verse 13. "Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia." Now, this is a different Antioch. This one's near Galatia. "They came to Antioch in Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, 'Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it.' So then Paul stood up, motioned with his hand, and said, 'Men of Israel, and you who fear God, Listen. All right, now Paul, just like Stephen did in chapter 7, he's now going to get into the long history of the nation of Israel. Let's pick it up in verse 20. We'll cut to the chase a little bit here. He's going through the history of Israel, okay? Now, after that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Afterwards, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Boy, I sure would love him to say that about me. What do you guys think about that? Right? I have found Anthony to be a man after my own heart. Something to strive for, you think? And the good news is it's not too late if you can't say that yet. This is why Jesus died. It's not too late. We make it right, that's all. I wasted 31 years of my life. It's never too late. As long as there's breath in you, it's not too late. We make it right, that's all. We make it right. This is why Jesus died. We can make it right. God says your sins and your lawless deeds and coming short of the glory of God, he will remember no more. That's the best Father's Day news, any day news I could tell you. We make it right in here today. And then God can say that and will say that about you as well. How can I get there? You love the things that God loves. It's simple. You love the things that God loves. You hate the things that God hates. Verse 23 says, from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John, that's John the Baptist, had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, who do you think that I am? I am not he, that's the Messiah. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandal of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. Verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that's good news, the promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he's raised up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Notice now, notice how the Apostle Paul in this sermon, he's going to make the resurrection the key point of what he's talking about. The resurrection is the Christian faith. That's what he's going to focus on. We study this guy. What did he focus on? The resurrection. Also notice too, that what was Psalm 2 2,000 years ago is still Psalm 2 in our Bibles. Interesting, isn't it? All these years later, that's Paul saying that that's Psalm 2. Reopen it up, your Psalm 2, and look, and you'll see it in there as well. That hasn't even changed numbers in 2,000 years. When he read Psalm 2, it's the same thing as you read in Psalm 2. Verse 34. All right, so he quotes the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Verse 34, and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, for he has spoken thus. All right, now he's going to quote Psalm 16, same as Peter did on the day of Pentecost. I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell asleep, and he was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God has raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, okay, finally he's going to hit us now with a therefore. This is the key point to his sermon. Therefore, since all this is true, or therefore, since Jesus is alive, that's what the therefore is there for, all right? Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Over 500 people saw him alive after he died. That's what the therefore is there for. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. And by him, everyone who believes is, all right, now I think there's sleeping children in here, so you visitors don't get to hear me use my gavel today or this one. Because I use it proverbially as a joke for what the word justified means. It's a legal word taken from the Greek courtroom. When the judge would hear your case, he'd sit on the bema seat, he'd hear your case, he'd take his gavel, he'd slam his down his gavel and would say, lay it on me, church. Not guilty. This is what the word justified means. I also read another definition. The act of making someone righteous. Where God officially, in his court, has said, I accept you. Not only that, I've obliterated all your sins. Not only that, I won't even remember them anymore. Not only that, when you die and leave this world, or if I come back before that happens, I will say to you, enter thou into this kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundations of the world. That's what it means to be justified. That's why Paul says, therefore, having been by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When God slams down that gavel and says, I accept you just the way that you are, that's where peace comes from. Being right with your Creator brings peace. Right? First time this word justify, I think, is in the Bible. So by him, everyone who puts 20% of their wages in the offering plate, that's not what it says. Everyone who believes. Now, once you believe, I mean, God loves a cheerful giver. Right? Once you believe, you'll run back here. That's not going to save you. Faith in Jesus Christ saves you. But after you're saved, you're going to run back here. Because the Spirit's going to lead you to the water. The Spirit's going to lead you to use what God's so generously given you to make a difference out here in this evil world today. So through this man, Jesus Christ has preached to you the forgiveness of sin. Through this man, everyone who believes in him is justified. Thirdly, the law of Moses could not do this for you. Right out of his own mouth. The Old Testament can't save you. The Old Testament condemns you. Jesus saves you. It points to the Savior who can save, and he does save, and he will save. Whoever believes in him, that's John 3:16. Whoever believes in him will not perish. All right, next up comes the warning. I promise to keep you visitors only another 90 minutes. Next up comes the warning. Okay, especially for Jews, because Jews should have known better. Okay, you guys shouldn't have known better. You have one testament in your Bible, a New Testament. You don't have an old. You don't have an old covenant. The Jews should have known better. So this warning is especially for them, though it can apply to us as well. The warning for not believing. We got another therefore there, verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets happen to you. Then he quotes Habakkuk, the old obscure two-chapter, no one's ever heard about prophet Habakkuk. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. God speaking. For I am going to work a work in your day that you will by no means believe, even if someone declares it to you. So a warning to all gospel haters out here today as well. Behold, that is, check this out, God says, marvel and die marveling. I will work a work in your day which you will by no means. In Greek, that's a double negative. That's putting two negative words together because there's no exclamation points in Greek. I will work a work in your day which you will by no means believe it. Even if the pastor gets up here and tells you about it and pours out his heart and soul. So take that as it's intended. That's a threat, and it's not even a thinly veiled one. Not from me. That's what God says. I'm just the poor preacher. Refuse the gospel, and further down the road, you will by no means believe, even if I were to stand here and tell you all about it. He's making the promise. If you don't believe now, your own Old Testament shows and points to the Messiah. Right? The Lord Jesus never used the New Testament to show people who he was. That's my favorite Easter sermon. Beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded all things concerning himself. You don't even need a New Testament. You've got it all here in the Old. And then that's a threat you don't want to test to see whether or not that's true. Because on the one hand, we all know God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. But on the other, there's this. But again, this promise is specifically for the Jews, for the nation of Israel. Because they should have known better than this. Okay? Now let's wrap up this sermon here. Verse 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and the devout proselytes, they followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. I love it. We have a church family that gathers here each and every Sunday to hear the word of God. Regardless of who's preaching it, it's not me and it's not Pastor Darren, but it's the work that God is doing on the inside of all of you. You can't get enough, just like these people that we're reading about. It's the word of God that's drawn all of you people here today. There's a hunger out here for the word, because the word is paying the brunt of all the evil out here in the world. This is why you're all here today. This is why sometimes after an hour and 20 minutes, I ask you if you guys mind we stick around. You know the answer to that. It's not because of me, and it's not because of him. It's because of him and the work that he's doing. Same as what's going on here. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Verse 45, and we're just about done. Now when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and say, all right, now stop here. Catch the change in direction for preaching the gospel now. This is where it's going to change, right here. Right here is when this gospel is going to start going now in another direction, because the Jews for the last time have rejected the gospel. Time has expired for the nation of Israel, at least for a few thousand years. But we know God's not done with the nation of Israel. So then, this is verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Boy, what a terrible condemnation. God didn't judge them unworthy. They judge themselves unworthy. Since you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us, this is verse 47, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles. This is Isaiah 42, he's quoting, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. So they're pretty much saying, wow, who would have thought it? Even the Old Testament promised this, that you were going to share the gospel with us. That's why it says when the Gentiles heard this, they were overjoyed. Here it was, the word of God, God promising that salvation and the gospel message was for Gentiles, not just Jews. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And then it says, as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Now, we'll stop there for the day. We say it all the time here in this church, and that's this. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Salvation is God's plan. Romans 8:29, it says, for whom he foreknew, these he's predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God has appointed you for salvation. Almost makes you want to shout, doesn't it? Now we'll gather together next week to hear the word of God. But think about one last thing. Think about how we use that word appointed. Judges get appointed, right? Or I've seen enough lawyer shows on TV. What do they say about lawyers? That's in your Miranda rights, though I've never had them read to me. About lawyers, if you can't afford one, one will be what? Right. One will be appointed to you. Corporate executives, public officials, guardians. They're appointed. Well, I've got one even better for you today. Salvation. Your salvation is appointed for you. You see, you've got an appointment too. God has made an appointment. He has added it to his planner. He's added his appointment with you. Your salvation is an appointment from God. And this is why you have ears to hear the compelling good news today, because you have an appointment with God. Believe God at his word, church. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thank you.